If you have your Bibles this morning, you can go ahead and turn them to Ephesians chapter 6. And we will be looking at Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3 together in just a few moments. We have recently, in the last several months, we've begun a new tradition that I want to continue this morning. And that tradition is that whenever our children sing in quote, that I should endeavor to bring a sermon in the mornings that's directed specifically to our children, and to speak to them and preach directly to them and hopefully somewhat on their level. Taking our cue from Psalm 34 and verse 11, which says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And so that we should not neglect this part of our congregation is a very important thing. But children, as I minister, endeavor to preach to you, is it okay with you if your parents listen in as well? Is that all right with you? They're all smiling at me and nodding their head. Well, we appreciate that. And you parents, don't think that you will not be fed. I trust that the Lord will take His word and feed you as well as I endeavor to minister to your children. So children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord this morning. In Ephesians 6, we have a wonderful commandment of the Lord that's given especially for children. We'll read it in just a moment. But do you realize that whatever else we say about our Bible is a book that is filled with the commandments of the Lord. God commands us that there are things that we must do, and we are not to neglect to do them. But He also tells us there are things we must never do, and tells us never to do them. And our obligation is to obey whatever God has said. Isn't that right, children? Are you to obey what God has said? And if you disobey God, what is that called? That's sin, isn't it? Doing the things that God has told us not to do, that's sin. And failing to do the things God has told us to do, that's sin as well. And we all sin and we all fall short of doing what God wants, don't we? We fall short of His glory. But do you realize that as we endeavor to obey God's commandments, we must obey God for the right reasons? Did any of you know that it's possible to obey God for the wrong reasons? Did you know that? It is. And I want to share with you this morning, first of all, before we get into this one specific commandment that I want to focus on, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fact that there are wrong reasons to obey God and there's right reasons to obey God. You say, "What? How could it be wrong to have a wrong reason to obey God?" Let me set two before you, children. First of all, it's wrong to obey God because you think that by obeying Him, you'll make Him love you more. That's a wrong reason for obeying God. Do you realize that God does not love us because of what we do or don't do? Do you realize that? God loves us because that is the way God is. And God, in order to love people, just has to be Himself. Because that's the way God is. And I cannot make God love me any more than He already does. Nor can I make Him love me any less. Now, can I grieve His heart by my disobedience and sin? Yes, I can. Can you grieve God's heart by your disobedience and sin? Of course. But can you make God love you less? Can you make Him love you any more? No. We can discover more about God's love, but we can't make God's love for us change. And so obeying Him to make Him love us is a wrong reason for obeying God. There's another reason that's a wrong motivation, a wrong reason for obeying God. And it's if we think that by obeying God that we can somehow earn a place in heaven. There are many, many people on the face of this earth. As a matter of fact, I would say to you, most people on the face of this earth, whom the devil has told a very big lie to. And he tells this lie to little children as well. And he loves to tell this lie to children. He loves it even more when little children believe this lie. You know what that lie is? The lie is that if I can obey God more than I have disobeyed Him in my life. In other words, you say, "Well, here's a scale before me, and my good deeds and that my obedience to God's commandments outweighs my disobedience, then I will earn a place for myself in heaven." Most people in the world believe that if they're just good enough people, if they obey God enough, they'll enter into heaven. They'll earn a place in heaven. Let me tell you something, children, and if you hear nothing else I say, this is the most important thing you'll hear today. It's this reality. Nobody will go to heaven because he has obeyed God enough. You cannot go to heaven because you've obeyed God enough. Now, should you obey God? Yes. But you cannot earn your way into heaven by obeying God. Because all of us have sinned against God. I've sinned against Him and you have as well, haven't you? We've all sinned against God. As a matter of fact, even though you're young, do you realize you've disobeyed God more times than you can even remember already, even as a young child? And for me, as an older guy, I've disobeyed Him even more. I have disobeyed God. I've sinned against Him, and I deserve His judgment. I deserve His punishment. And because you're sinners, so do you. And so if you try to earn your way into heaven, you're fighting a losing battle. You can't go to heaven by your good works. But Jesus Christ was sent by God to this world to take on human flesh. And He lived a life of perfect obedience, absolutely perfect obedience to God. He did not deserve to be punished, did He? Did Jesus ever do anything wrong? Never. He always did the right thing. But He voluntarily chose to lay His life down and die in the place of sinners. Sinners just like you. Sinners just like me. And He laid down His life and He took the punishment that they deserved. And God punished Jesus in the place of sinners, so that we would not have to be punished if we believe in Jesus. All those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save them and to take them to heaven, their sins have been set apart and put upon Jesus Christ so that we do not have to be punished. So if you want to go to heaven, it's not by trying to obey God's commandments that you go there. It's not something you earn. But instead, you must repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Well, to repent of your sins means to feel sorry because you have broken God's heart with your sin, because you have disobeyed Him. And so you feel sorry in your heart for it, and it makes you to hate sin. Now, is it good to hate people? Should you hate people, children? No. There's a lot of things you should not hate. But hating sin is always right. Hating the devil is always right. It's okay to hate the devil, and it's okay to hate sin. It's not okay to hate people, but it's okay to hate the devil, and it's okay to hate sin. Well, when we repent, we hate our sins, and we forsake them. And then you must not only repent of sin, but believe on the Lord Jesus. That means you're going to trust in Jesus to save you because you can't save yourself. That you're going to put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross and trust in Him alone to take you to heaven someday. And trusting in Him and not in how good or how obedient you can be. So that's another wrong reason for obeying God. If we obey God because we think somehow by obeying Him enough, we'll earn our way into heaven, that's a wrong reason for obeying God, isn't it? But what are right reasons for obeying God? If we should obey God, why should we? Well, first of all, we should obey Him simply because God is our Creator. God created you, every one of you in this room, didn't He? Children, is there any one of you that God did not create? He created all of you, didn't He? And because He created you, He is in authority over you. He can rule over you. And so when He tells you to do something, you're supposed to do it. Just because He's your boss, He's your ruler, He's your king, because He's created you. And if you have already trusted in Christ, then God is also your Savior. And because He's your Savior, you also obey Him. But the motivation, ultimately, the reason for obeying the Lord and His commandments is this: to show the Lord Jesus that you love Him. That's why we obey His commandments. Listen to what Jesus Himself said. These are His words. In John 14, He said this. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And again, if you love me, keep commandments." We show the Lord Jesus that we love Him when we do the things that He has said. Children, do you want the Lord Jesus to know that you love Him? Then you obey His commandments. Adults, do you want the Lord Jesus to know that you love Him? Then you obey His commandments. And His commandments, if we love Him, are not burdensome, are they? Sometimes they seem like a burden because we're sinners. But because we love Him, we learn to make His law and His commandments our delight. So children, I encourage you, and I encourage you adults, that we need to come before God and say, "God, help me to obey with right motives. Let me obey with a right heart." In other words, I want to obey You not because I think You'll make You love me more, or because I think that somehow it'll earn my way into heaven by obeying You, but rather help me to love You because I want to show the Lord Jesus how much I love Him. And then say to God, "God, help me to have the strength to carry out those commandments, to be able to obey you in the way I can, because left to ourselves, we don't have enough strength to obey God, do we? But when God helps us with His Holy Spirit, then we are enabled to obey Him. So loving Jesus is the reason for obeying the commandments. But children, as I said before you already, there is one specific commandment in the Bible that is written especially for you. It's marked out especially for you as children in a unique and special way. That commandment is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Now listen together as we read these words. Children. So who's he speaking to? He's speaking to you. He's speaking to children. It doesn't matter if you're an infant or 2 years old or 12 years old. He's speaking to children. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may long on the earth. The commandment that is written especially to you is a commandment that's found in the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. And that commandment is written especially to you as children. And so what I want to set before you today is two specific things. First of all, I want to teach you how to obey this commandment. And then secondly, I want to speak to you about the blessings of this commandment. So first of all, how to obey this special commandment, the special commandment written especially for children. And if you want to show Jesus that you love him, one of the very important ways that you do that is by showing honor to your father and your mother. So, first of all, let's talk about how to obey the special commandment. If you want to honor your father and mother, how do you do it? Well, there's three specific ways. First of all, you must respect your parents. Secondly, you must obey your parents. And third, you must take care of your parents when they are old. That's what it means to honor your father and mother, to respect them, to obey them, and to take care of them when they are old. So first of all, you must respect your parents. Children, have you ever been told to do something by your parents and you did it? You carried it out on the outside, but you didn't like it. And as a matter of fact, if you're honest, you're kind of mad about it. You didn't really like what you were told to do. Have you ever done that? I'm sure none of you have, but I have. When I was a child, I did this. But your attitude on the inside isn't what it ought to be. Maybe your parents tell you it's time to get ready for bed and you're not exactly wanting to go to bed. Or maybe they tell you to clean up your room and you don't really want to clean up your room. And so what do? You do it because you know you don't want to get a spanking if you don't do it. But what do? Inside you're like this. Your eyebrow. And you're going to puff out your lip. Go lip. Now, that's ugly, isn't it? And this is the way you are. It's like the little child who, his parents, he was being all rambunctious. And so his parents said to him, you need to sit down in this chair and be still. And so he sat down in the chair and obeyed him. He says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside, you see, because they just didn't want to show respect. You know, there was a time when I showed disrespect to my parents. Matter of fact, there were many times. But I remember one in particular. You'll understand why it stands out to me in just a minute. My mother had said something to me when I was a child that I didn't particularly like. I don't even remember what it was that she said, but I didn't like it. And it made me really mad on the inside. And I started like a volcano. I was kind of like burning inside. And I decided that I would sneak around behind her back and I would hit something just to prove that I was, you know, kind of take out my anger and everything. And so I walked into our bathroom and I went to hit something and I hit the towel rod. You know how you have a towel rod that's hanging up in the back? My mom's shaking her head. She remembers this. Okay. You have a towel rod where you hang your towel in the shower. Well, I hit the towel rod. Here's the problem. I broke it. I hit it and went, and I was like, because how can I hide this? I mean, I couldn't tape it together or anything. So I took the two pieces up and I walked trembling and shaking into the kitchen where my mom was. And I said, Mom! And when she saw it, suddenly she had a scowl in her eyes. Now, do you think she spanked me? And she did. And as a matter of fact, it was the worst spanking I ever got from my mom. You know, now it was worse to be spanked by your dad. You know, dads are stronger and they're tougher. But it was the worst spanking I ever got. Do you think I deserved it? I sure did. But what was wrong? I was dishonoring my mother by my attitude, wasn't I? I was not showing her the respect that she needed to be shown. I was dishonoring her. I was disobeying God's commandment and not showing respect to her. I know my father, if he ever heard me say something disrespectful to my mother, never put up with it. He was like, boy, we brought you into this world and I will take you out. Because when you dishonor your mother, you're dishonoring your father, you see. And when you dishonor your father and mother, you're dishonoring the Lord. Because it's the Lord who tells you to respect your parents. How about this? Here's another way we disrespect our parents sometimes. You ever, your mom and dad say something from the other room, hey, son, Johnny, I want you to do so and so, and you don't hear them. You don't quite hear what they say, but you know they're talking to you. How many of you go, what? Or, huh? Have you ever do that? Is that respectful? Is that treating them with respect? What should you say? You should say, sir, ma'am. Instead of, huh? What? Or maybe you do hear what they say. And they ask you a question. You hear the question. And you go, yeah. Or, no. Now, how many of you have done that? Is that disrespectful? Is that showing respect to your parents? What should you say? It's kind of old-fashioned, but it's a good habit to learn. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. You show them respect and honor. That's a part of obeying God's commandment. Honor your father and your mother. So it's an inward thing. It's not just that I'm going to obey them outwardly, but I'm going to obey them inside. I'm going to show them respect because who gave you your parents? God gave you your parents. And because He put them over you, you're going to show them respect because they are your authority. This is what God wants. So we don't want to break God's commandment. We want to show Jesus we love Him by showing respect to our parents. But the second thing is obvious. You must obey your parents. You can't honor them and disobey them all at the same time, can you? And this is exactly what Paul tells us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is good. This is right. It's not wrong. It's right. This is the good thing to do. This is how you show honor to them. It's by giving them obedience. Well, let's talk about obedience. How should you give obedience? I want to set three things before you, children. First of all, you must obey immediately. When your parents tell you to do something, when are you supposed to do it? Right then. You know what happens? Sometimes we're in the middle of playing. Maybe sometimes we're maybe watching something or playing a game or doing whatever it is we do. And our parents tell us to do something. And for us, it's kind of an inconvenient time. Now, has that ever happened to any of you children? I have a lot of hands going up here. Okay. But what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to go on doing what you think you're supposed to be doing? Or should you do what your parents tell you? You need to stop right then and there and do what your parents have said. Now, sometimes it's okay. If you really are legitimately busy, to appeal to them and say, Mom and Dad, is it okay if I finish this thing first and then do what you've asked me to do? Sometimes that's okay. But if they tell you, no, it's not okay, and you need to go ahead and do what I've told you to do, what should you do? If you're obedient, if you're going to honor your father and mother, what should you do? Right then and there, you should obey them immediately. Even when it seems inconvenient to you, you need to obey them, be under their authority, and say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and do immediately what they've said to do. Anything less than immediate obedience is what? It's disobedience, isn't it? I'm sure your parents have all taught this. I remember years ago, I saw an unruly young boy, and his father had told him to do something, and he didn't do it. And I knew he was playing around. It was on a situation where I was kind of isolated with the boy. And I said, your father told you need to do so-and-so, and you're not doing it. And I said, you know, anything less than immediate obedience is disobedience. And he says, yeah, we know a song about that. And he started singing the song about immediate obedience. I said, I cut him off. I said, don't sing the song. Live the life, boy. But obey your father instantly and immediately. We need to obey immediately. But secondly, we need to obey thoroughly. How many of you have ever done this, children, if you'll be honest? Your parents tell you to say, let's take an example. Your room is just a disaster. And your parents say, go clean up your room. And so you start putting up the toys. But before long, one of those toys looks really interesting. And so you start playing with it. And you get distracted and you do some other things. And about half of the room is cleaned up and the rest of the half is not. Have you obeyed your parents? No. Why? Because you did not obey thoroughly. You didn't put your heart into what they told you to do. may be. You felt lazy and wanted to play rather than work or whatever else may be. It doesn't go away when you're an adult. Sometimes we adults would rather play than work. But still, you have to do the things God has told you to do. And when your parents give you something to do, you must do it thoroughly. How many times should your parents have to tell you to do something before you do it? One time. Once. Should they have to tell you five times? No. They should be able to say one time, go and do this, and know and trust that you're going to do it fully. That's part of honoring and obeying your parents. Third thing, if you're going to obey your parents, not only must you obey them immediately, not only should you obey them completely and thoroughly, but you need to obey them even when you don't understand why you've been told to do what you've been told to do. Sometimes it's okay for parents to tell you the reason that they've told you to do something. And sometimes we as parents will explain to you why we've told you to do something. But there are times when we tell you to do something and we simply want you to trust our judgment. Isn't that true, parents? There are times that you tell your kids to do something and you're not obligated. Your parents are not obligated to tell you why. They may have a very specific reason for telling you to do something they've done, and they're just not free yet to tell you why. But someday, when you're an adult and you have your own children, I dare say you'll probably look back and go, I understand now why my parents told me to do this and this and this. And I understand the wisdom that was behind it. But even though when I was a child, I didn't understand. When I was a child, my father gave me this illustration, and I never have forgotten it. There was a place near, we grew up in Powder Springs, that's where I lived growing up. And we lived on a specific road where there was a store, a convenience store nearby that had a gas station and it had all kinds of candy and Cokes and stuff like that in it. And sometimes our parents would give us money. We'd walk over to this store. It's called Reese's Store. And we could buy some Coke or have some bubble gum or whatever it was. And we could go and buy some of that and bring it home. But the thing was, there were two different ways to get there. Our road was kind of like a big circle. And you could go to the left from our driveway, the end of our driveway, and it was maybe a quarter of a mile to Reese's Store. But you could also go to the right and get to Reese's Store, but it was about a mile's distance. So it was about four times as long to walk that direction. Now, he said to me, son, what if I told you that I wanted you to go to Reese's Store and get some bubble gum for the family and some Cokes and bring them back to us? But, son, here's the thing. When you go, I want you to go to the right hand and go the longer direction to get to Reese's Store and not go to the left. And I want you to simply trust me and obey what I'm telling you to do. And so he said, imagine you go to the end of our driveway and you're standing there and you're looking to the left and you're looking to the right. And you're thinking, why did Dad tell me to go to the right? Because that's going to take me a lot longer to get there. And it's a hot day. Maybe I'm going to start sweating and all this. And it's just a longer way. I'm going to have to walk to the store that direction and come back that direction. It's so much easier and quicker to go to the left. And so I decided to myself, I'm going to not listen to my dad because I think he's mistaken. And I'm going to go to the left. But then he said, but son, suppose I did not tell you that there are men working on the road and they were blasting the road with dynamite. And I didn't tell you that. He said, what would happen? And of course, I told him I would get blown up if I walked that direction. He said, there's things in life that I'm going to tell you, son, to do. And you're not always going to understand why I'm telling you to do them. But I want you to trust me to know that I'm looking out for your good and your interests. And obey me even when you don't understand. You know, I don't always understand why God tells us to do the things he tells us to do. When I read the commandments, I can't always comprehend why I'm supposed to do certain things. But does that mean that I'm excused from obeying him? No, I must still obey him. So children, I say to you, trust that God has given wisdom to your parents. And sometimes it's fine if you have a question to appeal to them and say, is it okay if I do this other thing? But when they've given you their final answer, listen to them and trust that God has given them wisdom beyond your abilities and beyond your knowledge. And even this isn't not only applies to you children, it applies to you young people, you teenagers. Sometimes you teenagers, the day may come, and I hope it does come, when you meet someone special, that young man, that young lady someday. But your parents may look at you and say, son, I don't think you're ready yet spiritually for this relationship. I don't think you're mature enough yet to be a married man. I don't think this is the right time. Or maybe, young ladies, you look at this young man and just like, oh, he's so wonderful. And your mom and dad look at him and say, this guy's a loser. Stay away from him. And you think to yourself, and this has happened so many times historically, and parents, tell me if this is not the case, that you say, oh, mom and dad just don't really understand him. If they just knew him better, they would think he's the right guy. You know, the truth is, they probably know him better than you do. They probably see through things in ways that you can't. They have the benefit of wisdom, of their own experience, their own shortcomings, their own failures when they were your age. And they see a danger sign in front of them. And they're saying to you, get away from this young man because he's nothing but trouble. But you can't see it. You can't see it. I encourage you, trust the Lord. Honor your father and mother because God is endeavoring to protect you. And you need to take heed to their counsel. Even though you may not understand, I dare say the day will come when you will look back and thank them for their cautions and their counsel. I remember in Bible college, there was a particular friend whom I met when I was a sophomore in college. And I grew to like this friend a great deal. My father met him and instantly told me he didn't like him. He said, I'm concerned about this young man. He's irreverent. He doesn't show honor to God and his word. And I thought to myself, you just don't know him. I thought, well, if you really understood him like I do and lived near him like I do, things would be well. You know, looking back, my friend and I had a falling out my senior year in college. One that we never, although we endeavored to make reconciliation, there was never the same relationship ever again. I thank God for that day. I thank God for that day. Not because there was no reconciliation, but what I told my dad we'd had a falling out. He says, I've been praying that this would happen. And I look back on those days of college and realize what a horrible influence this young man was in my own heart and life. And I'm not saying that I was such a great influence in his life either. But what I'm saying is I wish that I'd taken heed to my father's counsel earlier and not been rude or unkind, but not have become a bosom friend with this young man. Because looking back, it is one of the big regrets of my days in college. Was the things that I learned, the irreverence that I began to learn in my own heart and life that I had to repent of and deal with later because I did not take heed to the counsel. One more illustration I'll give you before we move on to the blessings of this commandment. There is a story told once of something that happened many years ago on the mission field. A missionary had a house that he had built in, I believe he was in Africa, some country in Africa is where he was stationed. His family was with him. And their house was built on the edge of an open field. And on the edge of that field was a big tree that was sitting there. And the children loved to go run to that tree and sit under its shade and this kind of thing. And one day, the father came outside of his door and looked over, and his son was standing underneath the tree that was there. And the father saw something that alarmed him. And immediately he cried out and said, son, obey me instantly. Drop to your knees. So the boy immediately fell to his knees. He says, now crawl on all fours as fast as you can towards me. And the boy crawled as quick as he could. And then he said, now stand up and run to me as hard as you can. And so the boy ran as hard as he could, never looked back. And when he got to him, the father said to him, son, turn around and look. And there, hanging from the tree, was a huge anaconda that had fallen out of the tree and was going to wrap the child inside of its coils and strangle him to death. And the father had seen it about to drop on him, and he said, obey me instantly. Now, what would have happened to that boy if he had not listened to his father and said, wait, I need to understand why you're telling me to do what you've told me to do? And what if he had delayed his obedience? He would have been dead. You see, but he had learned to honor his father and mother and to trust their judgment. And when he heard the command, he instantly dropped and obeyed what he said, and his life was preserved. Children, there's a lesson to learn there. Now, an anaconda may not drop out of a tree and try to strangle you, okay? But the point is, you learn the lesson well, that God has given you parents for a reason. Learn to trust them. Learn to obey, even when you don't understand. Learn to obey instantly and learn to obey completely. This is how we show Jesus that we love him, because we obey his commands. Finally, it's not only that obeying or honoring our father and mother is not only about showing them respect. It's not only about showing obedience, but it's also taking care of them when they are old. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul addresses this very thing. He's talking about widows and the church taking care of widows who are in their midst. And in chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul says this: if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them, that is, let the children, first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Down in verse 7 and 8, it says, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He's saying if there's a woman whose husband has died and she's been left a widow, and she still has children who are alive and who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is not to reach out financially and help her, because the children themselves are to take care of her in her old age. And he says they are learning to repay their parents. Children, do you realize that your parents, because they love you, they invest a lot of time in you, don't they? And they invest a lot of money in you, don't they, fathers? And all this they do gladly because they love you so much. They work long hours. I tell my children, when I have to go work in the construction field, or I have to pull myself away and go into the study and spend time away from them, I say, I'm not going here because I don't like you. I'm going here because I love you. And I, as a father, must provide for you. I must be a breadwinner and provide for you to have a roof over your head and meals to eat and those kind of things. And so I've got to go away from the house to work long hours so that you can have a place to eat and a place to sleep and to live. It's because I love you. And because I love the Lord that I do these things. Well, all that hard work that is invested in us, when our parents grow old and feeble, most of you children someday will leave your home and you'll probably marry some young man, some young woman, and have a house of your own. But as your parents grow old, as they grow feeble and sick and weak, part of showing honor to them is by endeavoring to take care of them in their old age. Such an important thing. And you've got good examples in this very church of brethren who are doing that very thing for their parents as they grow old, taking care of them, looking after their needs. That's a part of showing honor to our parents. And Paul tells us plainly that if someone will not provide for his own, if someone will not take care of his parents, he is worse than an unbeliever. He's worse than an unbeliever. So this is what it means to honor your father and your mother. Well, let's see one other thing, and then we shall be done. We've seen how we obey our parents and children. Do you have a clear sense of what it means to obey your parents and to honor your father and mother? But let's see specifically that there are also blessings attached to it. There are blessings attached to it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, he says, honor your father and mother. Paul's quoting the fifth commandment. And then he says, which is the first commandment with promise. As you go through the list of the Ten Commandments, here's a commandment that has a promise attached to it. In other words, children, if you honor your father and mother, there's a promise God has made to you about the blessings that will come to you if you obey your parents. What are they? There are two. First of all, that it may be well with you. And secondly, that you may live long on the earth. Here's the promise God has made that if you will honor your father and mother, if you'll show them respect, if you'll show them obedience, if you'll take care of them when they're old, it will be well with you and you will live long on the earth. So let's talk a little bit about these blessings. Children, God gave you your parents in part not only to nurture you and to teach you about the ways of the Lord, but also to protect you. And when you are under their authority, you are under protection. But when you step outside the bounds of that authority, you put yourself in harm's way. You put yourself and your soul in danger. And I have seen it with my own eyes so many times. I have seen young people who rebelled against the counsel and wishes of their parents, and I've watched the hideous consequences of their lives. I have literally watched young people apostatize from the gospel, leave the faith altogether because they got themselves in harm's way and would not submit to their parents' authority. The Bible tells us plainly the way of the transgressor is hard. And when we become rebellious and rebel against the authority of those whom God has placed over us, we put ourselves in jeopardy. We subject our souls to dangers we never were meant to bear, and to temptations that are overwhelming that would not be ours if we would simply submit to our parents' authority. But when we submit to them, when we honor them, We find protection for our souls. We find shelter, as it were. Things go well with us because God protects us. He gives us His blessing and gives us goodness of days. He invests us with benefits that come from obeying our parents. Is it not so, parents? Is it not true? And many of us, I think, many of us adults could probably stand up. I won't ask them to. And they could stand up and testify, I rebelled against my parents when I was a child, and here were the consequences that came to my life because of it. The things I bore that I should never had to have borne at all. Let me tell you something, children. If anyone, I don't care if it's a friend, if it's a young man, a young woman, anyone who comes to you and tries to put a wedge between you and your parents, just too strict on you, they're too this or they're too that. If anyone tries to put a wedge between you and your parents, let me tell you something. They are an enemy of your soul. And you pull yourself away from them. Don't you heed their voice. They're trying to teach you to dishonor your father and your mother. They are teaching you to be contrary to the ways of God. As your parents endeavor to instruct you in the way, they are laying before you the paths of righteousness and telling you to walk therein. Take heed to their voices and honor them and follow and obey what they have set before you. Because to step outside of their counsel very often is to step into the pathways of unrighteousness. So take heed and listen to your parents. The second blessing here, that you may live long on the earth. Now, let's ask some questions here, because is it not true that there are children who have loved Christ and have believed in Christ and have been very submissive to their parents who've died at a young age? Isn't it true that there have been? There have. It's also true that there have been kids who've been very, very stubborn and rebellious to their parents who've lived to be 100. And it's almost like they're too stubborn to die or something. But how do we reconcile that with the fact that this verse tells us that that if we will honor our father and mother, that indeed we will live long on the earth? Well, I don't know exactly all the answers to it, but let me set several thoughts before you. First of all, those children whom the Lord takes home early. Sometimes He does, doesn't He? He takes children home to heaven early. Let me ask you something. Do you think those children would come back to this earth if they could? No. Listen, when a person dies, their spirit leaves their body. And though their body sleeps in the ground, their spirit is alive. Their spirit is wide awake. And there their spirits are, those children who have died in Christ. When they die, their spirit goes up into heaven. They go into a place where there's no sin. They go into a place where there's no suffering or sorrow or death. And best of all, they get to look at Jesus' face day in and day out all the time. Do you think they would come back if they could? Do you think they're sorry that their life was short on this earth? Oh, they're rejoicing in heaven. They're rejoicing and saying, I get to see my Savior and I live in a perfect world. Are things going well with them? Oh, absolutely they are. Absolutely they are. But let's consider this. What about those children who rebel and are outside of Christ and rebel against their parents and show dishonor to them and live a long life? Maybe they live to be 100. What kind of life do you think they live? Is it a life of blessing? Is it a life of joy? No, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard life, a bitter life. I know I had some cousins when I was young, and they lived the life of the world. And I know that my oldest sister shared with me once. She said, you know, I always looked at them and thought, here, they get away with everything. They can do all the things the world does, and they can live in vice and immorality and all the rest, and drunkenness and pleasure and partying. And it just seems like there's no constraints on them, and they're just so seemingly so free. So, but now you look at them when they're old, and you see the hardship. You see the burned out sense on their faces. You see after they go through divorce after divorce after divorce, go through problem after problem after problem, things are not well with them. The rebellion that they have lived has come at a very high price. And you look at them and you see the way of the transgressor is hard. I'm going to tell you something, children. This is something that your pastor prays from time to time. I pray it for myself. I say, God, I want to finish well. I want to to bring honor to your name and not dishonor. And if you have to take me home early in order for that to be accomplished, then by all means do it, because I'd rather live a short life for your glory than a long life dishonoring you. And children, I say the same for you. The blessing of obeying your parents. Maybe, none of us is promised tomorrow. None of us is promised a long life. But if I'm going to have a short life, or if I'm going to have a long life, I want to live it to the glory of God. And I want to live it with every day saying, Jesus, I love you. And not just with my lips, but with my life, with my obedience. And if I die as a 37-year-old man and can say that of my life, and the Lord can even say, well done, good and faithful servant, I will say, thank you, Lord, for taking me home as a 37-year-old, that I might finish my course well. And I would rather do that than to bring dishonor to Him and live a long life. And I think there's something of that here. When Paul is saying to us, if we will submit to our parents, if we will honor our father and our mother, things will be well with us. We will live a long life. It doesn't necessarily mean I'll live to be 99. But it means that the days will be good days. A life well lived for the glory of Christ. And at the end of the day, that's what we want, isn't it? So children, I set before you that the promise cannot be claimed if the commandment is not obeyed. You can't claim the promise given if you don't obey the commandment to honor your father and your mother, to show them respect, to show them obedience, and to take care of them when they're old. And then we can claim the promise of ourselves, for ourselves. I just say before you, may God grant the grace to you children, that indeed you learn not only the importance of obeying your parents, but may God make you not only a hearer of the word, but an effectual doer as well, that you may honor your father and mother as you ought to. Has the Lord shown you some areas where you need to repent before the Lord? There are things you need to go to your parents and say, I want to ask your forgiveness because I have not shown you the honor and respect that I'm supposed to. Then listen to God and go to them and say, Mom and Dad, I want to obey you fully. I want to submit myself more fully to you than I ever have before, because I want to show Jesus that I love him. May God grant it to you. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for your commandments, and that your commandments are not burdensome. I pray that you'll speak to the children of this congregation. I thank you for the children of this assembly, that by and large I look out and I see, though certainly imperfect, I see parents who are shepherding their children's souls, and I thank you for it. I thank you that these children are being raised in the wisdom and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, may that message find root in their heart. May it bear fruit unto eternal life. The Lord, teach them how to obey. Let them obey out of pure motives. Teach them to honor their father and mother. And as they do so, may they consciously and joyfully know that they are doing it to show Jesus that they love him dearly. So I pray that that will be the heart motivation that compels them to show honor and respect and obedience to their parents. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.